حضر الله ونحمد الوكيل ونحمد المولى ونحمد المسير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وعلى آله.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says in Surah Yasin: Did we not take an oath from you, O children of Adam, that you shall not obey Shaitan? He is your open enemy, that you shall obey me. This is the straight path. Sirat-e-Mustaqim has been defined as two things: not obeying Shaitan and obeying Allah. So in order for us to be on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, before we obey Allah, we must reject Shaitan. And if we don't reject Shaitan, then no matter how much you obey Allah, you cannot be on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So in order to reject Shaitan, we must know who Shaitan is. How does he misguide you? What are his qualities? What are his attributes, his sifats? And what are the weapons he uses to misguide you? These are things that we need to know in order to protect ourselves and defend ourselves from Shaitan. The second quality I mentioned of Shaitan yesterday was the fact that Shaitan, when he has an issue with someone, when he has a problem with someone, he doesn't do justice and take revenge against the person who gave him the problem, but instead he takes out his revenge on those who are innocent and weak. And this is, you see, the issue at hand. I gave examples also, we don't need to go through that. Just something, you know, for our own sake we need to understand. Really, the fundamentals of Shia Islam were laid by the Imams. First it started with Rasulullah. He is the one who said that Man kuntu maula fahada aliyun maula. He appointed Ali. And the foundations of Iman were laid by Amir al-Mu'mineen. It was laid by Imam Hassan, it was laid by Imam Hussain, the Imams. So now if anyone has a problem with the Islam of Ahl al-Bayt, they should have a problem with Ahl al-Bayt. They should take it out on them. You see, by calling Shias kafir, we are saying, hey, we weren't there. Right? We weren't there in this problem. Your problem, your beef should be with the Prophet. Your beef should be with Imam Ali. But you know what? By not taking out their revenge on Ali and taking it out on us, they are showing that their path is the same as Shaitan, whose beef was with Adam, but he's taking it out on the children of us. This is something we need to understand. This is the Shaitan's path. His problem is with someone, he takes it out on someone else. This is Shaitan. You know, his problem is with Allah. Allah is the one who told him, make such that to Allah. So take it out on Allah. He's saying, no, I'm going to take it out on the children of Allah. What did the children do to you? They didn't do anything to you. You should take it out on them. But you see, this is Shaitan's path. That Shaitan has a problem with someone, but he doesn't take it out on them because he's too weak to face them. That's why he takes it out on children, on innocent people. So this is the first quality, this is the second quality of Shaitan. Now I'm going to the third quality of Shaitan that we need And this is important for us to know because Shaitan, you know, when he was kicked out by Allah, so he said that he's going to misguide the children of Adam. He said, I'm going to destroy all these children. I'm going to destroy all Adam's children. I'm going to misguide all of them, except a few. So they asked him, Allah asked them, so how are you going to misguide them? You know, how are you going to misguide them? So he replied back to Allah. My friends, here's the thing, right? And I want to make this very clear and blunt for you, right? Shaitan is not hiding anything. You know, he's saying that he's going to misguide us, he's going to trick us, and he's also revealing his tricks also. Now, I don't know about you all, but when I think of this, I say that, you know, if you want to trick someone, then at least you don't reveal your trick to him. If you want that trick to work. You know, if you want to deceive someone, you don't say, hey, listen, I'm going to deceive you tomorrow at this time, and I'm going to do this. Usually it doesn't work if you say it, right? Usually it doesn't work. For example, you know, if I'm in school, right, and if I, you know, like if I want to put a sign on someone's back saying, kick me, you know, it would work if I say, hey, listen, I made this sign, I'm going to put it on your back. You know, it won't work because he's going to take it out. Right? He's going to become aware. Right? If I say, okay, you know what, I'm going to put this sign on you and then kick me out. Yeah, try it. You know? It's not going to work, right? But I want you to see the audacity of Shaitan. Shaitan is revealing all his tricks. He's saying, this is how I'm going to misguide you. This is what I'm going to do to you. He's revealing all his tricks. If he was smart, he wouldn't reveal it to us. He would say that, listen, this is what I'm going to do to you. He would say that. But by saying it, by revealing all his tricks, by revealing all his deceptions, he's making us aware. And still he's saying, I'm going to misguide all of you. Even with saying all these things and letting you know how I'm going to misguide you, I'm still going to misguide you. And then you wonder, why is that? Did you ever wonder why? He's telling everything in the Quran. There's nothing he hid back. He's saying, listen, I'm going to come to you this way, and I'm going to misguide you this way. And you know what? You will be misguided. And I'm telling you, and you still can't stop me. You know, my friends, this shows what Shaitan thinks of you. This shows how much credibility he gives you. He is looking at you and saying, you are all punks. You are all punks. I'm telling you how I'm going to misguide you, and I will misguide you. You know what that means? I mean, the only time you do that is if you're so sure that the person you're going to misguide can't do anything. He is so weak that he can't do anything to stop you. That's when you tell him, hey, listen, I'm going to do this and I dare you to stop me. My friends, this is a challenge from Shaitan to us. He is telling us, this is how I'm going to do it. You want to stop me? Stop me. Let me see if you can stop me. This is a challenge of Shaitan by telling us that this is how he is misguiding us. He is letting us know what he thinks of us. His opinion of us is so low. He thinks we are so low. We are so weak and we are so helpless that he can tell us how he's going to misguide us and we can't do anything about it. Really, my friends, this is a challenge from Shaitan. And we also must step up to the plate and say that, okay, you know, like for example, I don't know if you know baseball. I'm sure you're St. Louis's Cardinals fans. So I'm going to give a baseball example, right? I mean, if you are a batter, if the pitcher tells you he's going to throw a curveball, you know, that's it. You wait on the curveball and you hit it. If he tells you he's going to throw a slider, you wait on the slider and you do something about it. The issue is, if you don't know what pitch is coming, that's 95% of the battle, to recognize what pitch is coming. But if he tells you it's a curveball, you can always get the pitcher. You can always get the pitcher if you know what ball is coming towards you. And here, if the pitcher tells you, hey, listen, this is a curveball, I dare you to hit it. The only time that'll happen is that if the pitcher thinks you're so bad, you're so weak, that I can tell you what pitch it is and still you're going to strike out. Understand this? Still you're going to strike out. That shows what his opinion of us is. Shaitan is revealing his tricks to us and he's telling us, this is what I think about you. I'm telling you how I'm coming to you and still you can't stop me. My friends, if this is the case, then we have to step up to the plate and take on the challenge. So Allah asked him, how are you going to misguide them? I want you to understand who's asking. Allah is asking. Who? He's asking Shaitan. What's the question? Allah is asking him, how are you going to misguide them? Shaitan replies back to him, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. This is the first part of the answer. And I'll answer this first part first before I go to the second part. The first part of the ayah, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Allah is asking, how are you going to misguide them? Shaitan is replying, just like you misguided me. Just like you misguided me, I'm going to misguide them. When did Allah misguide Shaitan? He's telling Allah, hey, you misguided me. Remember, you are the one responsible. You misguided me. Now, my friends, when did Allah misguide Shaitan? Really? Did Allah make Shaitan not do sajda? Meaning everyone wants to go and sajda, Allah is holding back his neck. No, you can't. Right? Did he make Shaitan not listen? I mean, when did Allah misguide him? When did Allah do anything to him to stop him? He said, you were the one who didn't listen. You were the one who didn't make sajda. You were the one who didn't obey. It's your fault. But he's saying, no, it's Allah's fault. It's Allah's fault. You are the one. You misguided me. My friends, the third quality of Shaitan is this. The third quality of Shaitan is that Shaitan never takes the blame for his mistakes.
Subhanallah.
This is the third quality of Shaitan. He's the one who made the mistake. He's the one who didn't do sajda. He's the one who didn't obey, but he's blaming Allah for it. You see, I'm the one who did wrong. But if I don't do wrong, if I did wrong, take the blame for it, okay, I did wrong. You know, you're much better off. But no, I did the wrong, but I want to blame Allah for it. Blaming Allah, blaming someone else for your mistakes is Shaitan's quality. This is Shaitan's quality. This is how Shaitan comes about. And so you see that Shaitan did it himself. By saying this, he let us know, this is my quality. You want to have my quality? This is what you need to do. Make the mistake and blame someone else. Blame someone else. And here in this case, he blames Allah. Allah, you are the one who did it. What did Allah do? Allah didn't do anything. No. But he blames Allah for it. See, my friends, this is Shaitan's quality. Blaming Allah for your actions. And that quality that Shaitan exhibited in his own life, he has given it to insan. He gave it to insan. And now you see how many people in the world, how many Muslims in the world are of the belief that we are not responsible for our action, it is Allah who makes us do it. How many people are saying, oh, whatever is written in Taqdeer of your hand, that's it, now you can't do anything about it. Allah is making us do it, we are not. The leaf doesn't fall except by the will of Allah. The leaf doesn't have a choice.
He doesn't have a choice, man. Allah gave you choice. Allah gave you a free will. You have a free will. You have ikhtiyar. He doesn't have ikhtiyar. That's why it's falling by Allah's will. You know, but when you do things, you're not doing it by Allah's will. You are doing it with your own actions. You see, understand this. This is believing in taqdeer is what shaitan has done with Allah. He says, no, you are responsible. Now, I want my kids here also to understand what I'm saying. It's a complicated issue of taqdeer and predestination. So I want them to understand with an easy example so that they also know what I'm saying and understand what is shaitan's quality. I'll say that in the Mizan.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, Bahlul was a companion of Imam Jafar Sadiq.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, Bahlul was intelligent, but he used to act retarded. Right? And everyone thought he was a retard. Right? But he was very intelligent. So what happened is that he was once walking by a class that Abu Hanifa was taking. Abu Hanifa was taking a class, and in that class, obviously, you know, he had a he was saying that there are three things I don't agree with Imam Sadiq. Three things I don't agree with him. So, okay, let's see what this smart guy has to say, He stopped by there in the class and sat there as a student, in the back seat always, in the front seat, in the back seat, where all the, sweat hogs sit, The poor students, want to make fun and all that. They sit in the back, So he sat in the back seat, and Abu Hanifa was saying, well, I don't agree with three things. I can't understand it. What's that? He says, Imam says that Allah, he can never be seen. I cannot believe that. If something is existing, it must be seen. How can it not be seen and exist at the same time? I cannot understand this. This doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Okay. What's the second thing? The second thing I don't agree with is that Imam had said that Shaitan is going to be thrown in the fire and where he is going to burn and be in pain. He said, I can't understand this because Shaitan is made up of fire and hellfire is fire. So how can fire hurt fire? If Shaitan is thrown in the fire, that's fire. Fire is thrown in the fire, you can't hurt him. And the third thing that he said is that we are responsible for our action, Allah is not responsible. He said that, listen, I can't understand this much. I don't know what makes sense of that one, because everything we do with Allah, He is the one. He's the source. We don't have anything. He is the one. He does everything. We have no power. Now, he made these three accusations. He made these three criticisms of Imam and said that these three things I don't agree with him. So, Bahlul, now we have to answer him. He said that obviously, the guy, he lost his mind. So, talking intelligently won't help, I need to do it, in a way that he can understand. So, how can he understand? So, he took a brick and he just flung it at him and went and cracked his head. He cracked his head and Abu Hanifa was in pain. He was crying, and Bahlul started running. And they went after him and they caught him. And they came to the Khalifa, Harun Rashid. Now the reason that Bahlul was treated that way is because he was Harun Rashid's cousin. Because of that, they couldn't do anything to him unless Harun Rashid allows it. Right? So that's the reason he was always protected by Harun Rashid, being his cousin. So now when they came to the court, so now, for example, Abu Hanifa was upset. He hit me. He hit me with a brick. So Bahlul says, hey, prove it, hit me. He says, all right, where? He said, here. This is pain here. I'm in pain. He says, I don't see the pain. I don't see the pain. It's here. I see the bruise, but I don't see the pain. I see an injury, but I don't see a pain. He said, but I'm in pain. He said, but you said that if something exists, it must be seen. If it cannot exist, then it's not seen. If it's not seen, it cannot exist. So where is the pain? Show me the pain. He says, it's there, but you can't see it. He says, well, just the way it's there, you can't see it, then Allah is also there and you cannot see it. And he was like, okay, Abu Hanifa, you know, a little bit caught off guard. He said, and then you said that, you know, Shaitan, if he's thrown in the hellfire, it cannot be hurt because he's made up of fire, and hellfire is made up of fire, and fire cannot hurt fire because they're the same substance. Well, you are made up of clay, and the brick is made up of clay. If fire cannot hurt fire, so the brick, the clay, should not hurt the clay also. This is your logic, right? And he was like, now really, now what do I do? He said, then, hey, listen, and even if I did, you said we are not responsible for our action, Allah is. So why are you blaming me? Blame Allah.
Subhanallah.
In other words, with one stone he killed three birds. Alone he killed three birds, literally. Right? And so here you see just the example that to say we are responsible, we are not responsible for action, Allah is responsible for action, is blaming Allah for our sins. We are the ones who do the sin. If I make a mistake, it's my mistake, not Allah's. Allah didn't make me do it. If I did a sin, it's Allah. Allah didn't do it. I'm the one who did it. Islam teaches us that we are responsible for our actions. But those who believe that Allah is, the first one was Shaitan, and he taught that to everyone else.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
You are not responsible, Allah is responsible. You see, you are not responsible, Allah is responsible. Allah is also saying, okay, if that is your attitude towards me, and then don't mind if I take this attitude towards you also.
Subhanallah.
Understand this. So this Muslim, you know, this really good Muslim with a very long beard and making lots of sajdas, fasting and everything, you know, a Muslim who has lived all his life as a Muslim, right? His beard was never less than 1 foot, right? And he never got rid of his miswak. Always using his miswak. When he will be raised in the Day of Judgment, and Allah, the angels will give him his book of Amal, here's your book. So he will look at his book, he'll say, no namaz. He will go, Allah, what do you mean no namaz? I prayed all my life. I never missed Salatul Layl. There's no Salat here. There's no fasting here. There's no this here. He'll ask Allah, I prayed. Allah said, no, you didn't pray. I fasted. He said, no, you didn't fast. I did this. I said, you didn't do that. He said, but where did my Hajj go? I spent so much money for Hajj. People call me Haji, and everyone knows I'm Haji, but the Haji is not in my amal. There must be something wrong in the reporting section. Who did your database? There must be a mistake here. This is not my book. He said, no, it's your book. Look at the name. Wow. It says Haji Mia Wali Mia, whatever. It's there. He says, everything is there, but my prayers are not there, my fasting. Allah said, you're lying. You never fasted. You never did this. You never did that. But I did it. He said, you're lying. He said, why not? Because I'm the one who did that. I made you pray. I made you fast. I made you go to Hajj. You were the one saying that, right? He said, what are you talking about? He said, when you did haram, remember? You said, I did it. You blamed me for it. So now I'm saying, okay, if I did haram for you, I also did wajib for you. So if you want credit for the good actions you have done, then take the blame for the wrong actions you have done. said you're going to go to hell. Allah said to istighfar, do tawbah. There are many ways of repenting. But at least take the blame for it. Do not blame Allah for it. This is shaitan's quality. Okay, this is the second quality. This is the third quality of shaitan I mentioned. He blames others for his own mistakes. This is shaitan's quality. Now let me go on from here. Just this second part of the ayat. The فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي Allah just like you misguided me. Now my friends, the second part of the ayat, as I said, shaitan did not hold anything back. He revealed everything. Right? He revealed everything to us. Now, do you know where shaitan lives? You know, do you know where shaitan lives? Shaitan is giving his address in the Quran. He's saying, this is my address, if you want to meet me, you can come there and meet me. Shaitan is giving his address in the Quran. If you want to know where shaitan lives, he is giving his address. Alright, where do you live? If I have an off day and a vacation, I might come there and visit you. For a vacation, just to see you, right? But shaitan is giving his address in the Quran. He's telling you, where does he live? He said, where do you live? He said, لَأَقْضَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ I live on your sirat al-mustaqim, Allah. My friends, this is shaitan's address. Do you want to know where shaitan lives? Shaitan lives on sirat al-mustaqim. Shaitan lives on sirat al-mustaqim, on the right path. That's where he lives. That's his address. You want to meet him? Then come on sirat al-mustaqim. My friends, understand this, and I'm telling you this, and I had mentioned this to you in brief about some days ago. I said, I'll let you know, right, if you ever meet shaitan, you're lucky. Now you understand. And the reason you're lucky is that you can only meet shaitan if you go on sirat al-mustaqim. You can only meet shaitan if you go on sirat al-mustaqim. If you're on sirat al-mustaqim, you'll meet shaitan. You know, and this is shaitan is letting you know, that's where I live. So, if you want to find shaitan, you will find him wherever sirat al-mustaqim is. If you want to find shaitan, if you are looking for shaitan in the wrong places, you can't find him. So, where can't you find shaitan? My friends, you cannot find shaitan in nightclubs. You cannot find shaitan in bars. You cannot find shaitan in rock concerts. You cannot find shaitan in dance halls. Shaitan doesn't go there. He doesn't need to. People there already lost him, right? He's smarter than that to waste his time on useless people. He doesn't go there. So if you want to meet shaitan, where do you come? You come to Darul Zahir. Right? And you'll see him at the door shaking your hands. Come on, please. Anywhere. Any Sirat al-Mustaqim. Anywhere there's Sirat. If this is Sirat al-Mustaqim, if this is the right path, he'll stand at the door. He says, here, I'm waiting for you. Why? Because his job is here. Not in bars. Not in nightclub. This is what his job is. He's threatened by those who come here. If you go to the nightclub, you don't threaten him. He doesn't care about you. Okay, go ahead, you know. But if you come here, that's where he is. He says, لَأَقْضَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ I will wait for them on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the right path. This is where he is, my friends. This is where he comes. And now, we need to understand, really. Right? It's, you know, you see, outside of this place, you see, you know, you're so laid back and relaxed and this and that. When you come over here, you see shaitan now meets you and he will put his thoughts in your mind. Really. You know, when you come to the masjid, I'll give some examples to understand. You see, you come here to pray in the masjid, right? You come here to do ibadah, you come here to pray. But the issue you will see in masjid, maybe not here, elsewhere you will see in different masjid, you go there and you will see. The issue is not praying, the issue is that where am I going to pray? Am I in the first line? Am I in the second line? You know, where do I pray? You see, now, the issue is that it doesn't matter if you pray the first line or the last line, you're praying to Allah. But the issue now is, now, where do I pray? You see, if I don't pray the first line, there's one person who always used to pray the first line.
Yes.
First line, right behind the imam, that's it. And for years he would be there, right behind the imam, praying there. And that's it. And one day he was late. You know, traffic. There was traffic and he was late. And when he came in, he saw that the Jamaat had already started and he found himself in the third line. He found himself in the third line and he was a bit upset. So, you know, they asked him, what happened? You look upset, this and that. What happened? He says, it didn't look like prayer to me today. He said, no, I wasn't in the first line. He said, wow, were you praying for Allah or were you praying for the first line? You see, my friend, understand this, the issue and all these things, who's giving him this thought? Did Allah say this? Did Ahlul Bayt teach us this? Or Shaitan was putting this in his mind? Right? You come over here, right? I mean, for example, these Islamic centers, these masjids, you come here to do what? To obey Allah, to obey Ahlul Bayt. You come here for obedience. But the issue you see in centers is not about, hey, I'm here for obedience. The issue is about, okay, it's fine. We all come here, but who's in charge? Who's in charge? Who's the director? Who's the trustee? Who cares who the trustee is? The important thing, are you the Shia Wali? Are you the Shia Wali? Are you a woman? You see, but the issue is, who's giving these thoughts? Is Allah saying, make sure that you vie for this? Or is Shaitan saying that? Understand this. What is Shaitan's path and what is Allah's path? You see, you know, we read Noha, for example, we do it for Imam Hussein. Right? We read Noha and we do it for Imam Hussein. Right? We do it for Imam Hussein, alhamdulillah, you know, we do it. You know, and you know, everyone is lining up to do Noha's. It's good, alhamdulillah. We get reward for it. But you will see, the issue is not about reading Noha's. The main issue is who's going to read first. It doesn't matter if you read first, second, third, or last. It doesn't matter. You're doing it for Imam Hussein. But no, the issue is that the crowd is more on the first Noha. After the first Noha, everyone leaves. He says, no, I want the better crowd. So what it means is that this Noha wasn't for Imam Hussein. This was for the crowd. You see, this was for the crowd. Because the crowd was more, I'm doing it for the crowd. If it was for Imam Hussein, it won't matter if you were first, if you were last, if everyone was there or if no one was there. Because if no one is there, still Imam Hussein is there, or that Fatima is there. You see, if it was for them, it won't matter. But because it's for the people, it's not for Allah, it's not for Imam. Now who's putting this in the mind? Who's teaching this? Is this Allah who's teaching this? Is this ilham from Allah? Or is this nasihat from Ahlul Bayt? Or is this Shaitan who's doing the waswasa? Tell me, this is Shaitan who greets people when they come here. He is the one who's giving them these thoughts. This is when you know where Shaitan comes, when you have met Shaitan. This is when you know, my friends. Now, I'll explain a little bit more to send you salawats. Happens here also, but here not that much as back home because the crowds are bigger, you know, and in majlis. So now that tabarruk is giving out, this and that, I went to a majlis where everyone's giving out the tabarruk, and it was a breath and naat. And the rule was one naat for each person. Right? So everyone was getting one naan and going, or one naan and going, oh, and I got my naan, you know, this and that. One of our friends, he thought he was smart, so he went and got one naan, he hit that naan inside, he went back and again got another naan. He got two naans, right? And the rule was one for each person. And he came outside and said, ha ha ha, look, I got two. But you're only allowed one. Yeah, who cares about them, you know? I got two. But it's wrong. It's wrong. They said only one per person. You're getting two. He said, listen, this is the Imam's money. Mal-e-imam. Imam Ali. So what? Is that being halal for you? What does that mean? What does that mean, the Imam's money? Well, it's alright that you can take it? He can steal it? You know, what does that mean? Meaning, if it belongs to me, then you can't. If it belongs to the Imam, you can steal the Imam's money? You see, my friend, understand this. This ideology, where is it coming from? See, this person, you know, what happens? They got used to it. They got used to stealing the Imam's money. Every year they do that. By not paying homes. Homes is the Imam's money. By eating that, they got used to it. They got used to that. And here he's saying, listen, this, all these mullahs, you know, they make up these rules. They make up these rules. I don't care about the mullahs. This is the Imam's money. I care about the Imam. This is their money. I can use it the way I want. You know? So, you say that you are the Shia of the Imam, you say that you are a believer of the Imam, and you are saying that because you are the believer of the Imam, it's halal for you to take his money. You understand this ideology? Now, do you know who was the first one to have this ideology? Who was the first one to accept Ali as the Khalifa and take his money, and take his wealth? Who was the first one? Meaning the first Shia of this type. Who were the first Shia of this type who believed in Imam, accepted him, and then took his money, and he taught it to the rest of the Shia that, listen, the best way to take the Imam's money is first accept him as the Imam, and then take his money. Who was the first one, who was the first Shia of this type? That first Shia was the first one who came after the announcement of Ghadir and said, Bakrin, Bakrin, Ya Ali. Congratulations, O Ali. Understand that? That was the first person who said, the Khulafa, the leader who came to him and said, Bakin Bakin Ya Ali, we accept you as our Imam and the Imam of all the Muslims. Now because we accepted you, now it has become halal on us to steal your money also. To steal your khilafat also. Friends, understand this. This is not our way. This is not the way Ahlul Bayt have taught us. This is the way that our enemies have taught us. Understand that. Imam Ali, if you want to accept Imam Ali, then understand that his mission is sacred for us. His wealth is sacred for us. Really, you know, when it comes to Imam's money, we only have two relationships. When it comes to Imam's money, we have two relationships. Meaning we have two relationships with the Imam's money. Either we help to increase it, or we defend it against those who are stealing it. These are the two relationships we have. Either we help to increase it, or we defend it against those who want to steal it. Those who want to harm it. This is our relationship with Imam. And my friends, when we hold Imam Ali sacred, then everything else will become sacred for us. What is our relationship with Imam Ali? Do you know what Imam Ali wanted? Do you know what was his lifelong wish? You know, I mean really, you know, how well do we know our Imam? If we have a quiz 101 on Imam Ali, how well do we know him? What is Imam Ali's wish? What was his wish all his life? Believe that. What was his wish all his life? Before I go into that, I just want to see who Imam Ali is. Understand who Imam Ali is. Imam Ali is that being. Is that being. That a being like Fatima. Like a being like Fatima used to make tawaf of Ali. Fatima al-Zahra used to love Imam Ali. Imam Ali was the object of her love and adoration. To be a man like that, that Fatima is in love with you, imagine who Ali is. To be a man that Fatima has gone through pains for your love, imagine who Imam Ali is. It is because of him that Fatima has gone through the tragedy she has gone through. If Fatima had said, Subbat alayya masaibun, law subbat alal ayyam nasirna layaliya, these afflictions, these hardships and sufferings that have fallen on me, if they had fallen on the day would turn into night, this is Ali that she went through this. It's because of him that she went through this. Now you see who Ali is. Fatima is going through all of that. She went through so much pain that when she was at the point of her death and Imam Ali met her. When she went through all of that, she had the door broken on her, she had her ribs broken, her baby that was inside her had fallen out. She went through that injury also. She was in pain. She was crying for her father on one hand, and she was trying to defend Imam Ali's right on the other hand. She was being called a liar in the court by Muslims on the other hand. She was being accused of horrible things on the other hand. Her house was broken into on the other hand. She went through all of that. And all because of Ali. All because of Ali she went through. And then when she came to the last moment of her life, all she could ask Imam Ali was this one question. Really. All she could ask Imam Ali was this. Ali, are you pleased with me? Are you pleased with me? Imam Ali, imagine what he is thinking of his wife, that wife that he knew, that he loved so much, more than life itself, and that wife who had gone through so much pain for him to defend the right of Imam, that wife who was dying now, and she's asking Ali, that Ali, are you pleased with me as a wife? Imam Ali said, how can I not be pleased? But I as an Imam are asking you, are you pleased with me? I said, imagine, this is Imam Ali, that Imam Ali for whom Fatima had given her life for. For Fatima had given her happiness for. She gave everything for Ali. This is Imam Ali. And that Ali's long life wish. My friend, that Ali is putting his hand on his chest like this, beating his chest and saying, ah, ah. And he's letting out a sigh of relief. And he's saying, ah, how I wish I could see my Mahdi. How I wish I could see my Mahdi. How I wish I could be back when my son Mahdi comes so I can be a soldier in his army. Imam's lifetime wish is to look at Imam Mahdi. Can you imagine that? Who Imam Mahdi is? He is the wish of Imam Ali. He is that long lost hope of Imam Ali. That Imam Ali is saying, I wish I could be with the Imam. I could see my son Mahdi when he comes. This is Imam Mahdi, my friend. You know, it is said that Imam Mahdi is said that amongst all the Anbiya, he is like a peacock while all the Anbiya are birds. And this is why Imam Ali is saying, if you want to know me, if you want to know me, then my dream is to be with my son Mahdi. This is Imam Ali. Now you see Imam Ali, what Imam Ali is, what his goals are in life. And to us, we need to understand that if this should be our goal, then this Imam Ali, my friends, the whole day has gone. The whole day has gone. And this day, for you, it must have been easy. You were just fasting. For you, it must have been easy. But imagine what it was for Zainab ibn Umayyah. What was this day for Zainab ibn Umayyah Kulsum? Imagine that. What kind of pain did they go through? What did they were feeling when they were seeing their father writhing in pain? Imagine what they were feeling. My friends, Imam Ali is leaving us, and as I said before, that when Imam Ali was struck by the fateful sword of Ibn Muljim, when that sword struck him, really, the whole world had changed at that time. The whole world had changed at that time. There were two sounds that everyone heard. One came from the earth, the other came from the sky. The sound that came from the earth was saying, Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba. And the sound that came from the sky was saying, Tahaddanat Walla Arkan al-Huda. Jibreel is calling out from the sky that the سنیے کہ امام کے اوپر کیا گزر رہی ہے. زینب ام کلثوم امام کے سارے بچے اور اولاد امام کے اطراف ہیں, اور زینب ام کلثوم جب دیکھتے ہیں امام علی کو تو امام علی کبھی یوں کروٹ بدلتے ہیں, کبھی اس طرف کروٹ بدلتے ہیں, چین نہیں ملتا. کہا جب سیدھے ہاتھ مڑتے ہیں تو درد ہوتا ہے, تو بائیں ہاتھ مڑتے ہیں, جب بائیں ہاتھ مڑتا ہے تو درد ہوتا ہے. اب اس حالت کو جب زینب دیکھتی ہے تو کہتی ہے بابا کچھ میں کروں تو آپ کو تسلی ہو جائے, کچھ آپ کو آرامی مل جائے. مگر کیا کرے, مولا اس طرح سے تڑپ رہے ہیں کہ اب رہا نہیں گیا زینب ام کلثوم کو. ہائے میں کیا کہوں, مولا سے کچھ دور نہیں ہے مولا, وہ جگہ جہاں پر آپ کو یہی زینب ہوگی, مگر آپ نہیں ہوں گے, آپ کی بجائے حسین ہوگا. وہ دلِ زینبیہ ہوگا جہاں زینب پھیری ہوئی ہے اور حسین کو دیکھتی ہے کہ حسین تڑپ رہے ہیں اور تلوار چل رہی ہے. اب زینب بھی کیا کرے, کس طرح تسلی دے. آج علی اب اس مصیبت میں پھنسے ہوئے ہیں جہاں پر اس طرح کا درد ہے. جب حکیم آتا ہے, حکیم آ کے جب دیکھتا ہے مولا کو تو امام حسن سے کہتا ہے کہ دیکھو اب اپنے بابا سے کہہ دو کہ آخری وصیت کر لے, آخری وصیت کر لے. اب کچھ شفا مل سکتی ہے کچھ دیر کے لیے تو دودھ سے مل سکتی ہے, دودھ دے دے. اب میں کیا کہوں, دودھ کی شفا ملتی ہے تو اب یہاں پر دودھ کا جام لایا گیا, دودھ پیش کیا گیا. تو جب مولا کے سامنے دودھ آیا تو مولا دیکھتے ہیں کہتے ہیں کہ یہ کیا ہے, یہ کیا ہے. تو کہتے ہیں کہ اس سے آپ کو تھوڑی دیر شفا ملے گی, تھوڑا سکون حاصل ہوگا. مگر جب مولا دیکھتے ہیں تو کہے کہ ہائے ابھی مجھے ابن ملجم کی کرکنے کی آواز آتی ہے, ابن ملجم تڑپ رہا ہے, یہ جا کے دودھ اسے دے دے تو مجھے تسلی مل جائے گی. اب میں کیا کہوں مولا, تو آپ اپنے قاتل کو دودھ کا جام پیش کر رہے ہیں. ہائے جب آپ کے بچوں پہ یہ باری آگی کہ حسین صرف پانی کا سوال کرے گے, علی اصغر ہاتھ میں رہے گا, پانی کا سوال رہے گا. اب پانی تو نہیں آیا مگر تین بار کی تیر آتی ہے علی اصغر کے گلے پر. اجرکم اللہ بس میں کیا کہوں, آپ فرصت دیتے یہ ہنسو بہاتے تاکہ اس وہ امام کو تسلی ہو جائے کہ اس کے باپ کو مظلوم کی طرح مارا گیا ہے. مظلوم باپ اپنے امام کا, اب وہ امام آخری لمحوں پہ آ چکا ہے. اب امام اطراف ہے, سب اطراف ہے, زینب کلثوم رو رہے ہیں, اب کوئی ہر کوئی اطراف ہے, حسن ہے حسین ہے. اب سب جب بیٹھتے ہیں اطراف تو میں کیا کہوں, آخری لمحہ آتا ہے. اب وہ ہچکیانا مولا کے ہچکیانا, اب سب روتے ہیں دیکھتے ہیں کیا ہو رہا ہے. جب وہ دیکھتے ہیں کہ زینب ایک بہت پکار اٹھتی ہے کہ بابا کیا ہوا, بابا کیا ہوا. اب علی کے منہ سے آواز نکلتی ہے دیکھو میری مت رو, تم دیکھتے نہیں رسول اللہ آ گئے ہیں,
علی کے چہرے کو دے